Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, continuing with the Kitab, yearning for the year after, a cheer for the depressed, and a solace for the bereaved. Today we start a new chapter, the wisdom behind a painful death. The wisdom behind a painful death. Again, we ask ourselves that if we have to look in the medical science books and the medical science kitabs, will we ever find such a topic, the wisdom behind a painful death? Normally, a painful death is seen as something that is bad, seen that there's something that is difficult, seen that something that everyone wants to run away from. Nobody wants to have a painful death. And from today's hadith, we learn that the painful death or a non-painful death is not a yardstick, is not a measurement to see whether the person was a good person or the person was not a good person. It has got nothing to do with how good the person is or how evil the person is. This is not related to the way he has passed away. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that I used to also think that a person that had a difficult death was a bad thing, until I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the pangs of death also. Then I realized that this is not a bad thing. If it was a bad thing, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't have experienced the difficulty of death. So this shows us that the difficulty or non-difficulty is not related to the piety of a person. Sometimes, yes, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away his pious people very quickly, very easily. But that is not necessarily a yardstick or a measurement to see how pious a person was or how evil a person was. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, innal mu'mina layya'malu al-khati'ata fayushaddadu biha alayhi inda al-mawti liyukaffira biha anhu wa innal kafira layya'malu al-hasanata fayusahhalu alayhi inda al-mawti liyujza biha. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, sometimes a believer commits a sin, so he suffers a painful death, so that the pain may serve as an atonement for it. Sometimes a believer commits a sin, a believer makes guna, he commits sins, so he suffers a painful death. Now at the time of death, his death is a little bit difficult, he's suffering a painful death, so that the pain may serve as an atonement for it. Look at the beauty and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just before the person goes to Allah Pak, wants to make him maaf. So Allah Pak is using that difficulty and death to wipe him, make him shine him, clean him, make him pure. Like how when he was born, he was pure and he was clean. Allah Pak wants to take him into akhirat clean. Allah Pak puts him through difficulties. And sometimes an unbeliever does a good deed, so he is given an easy death so that the ease may serve as a recompense for the good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give the repay that kafir now and give him, so now he gives him an easy debt. Now this is your repayment in the dunya for what you have done. You have been repaid in full. This is the clemency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now when that kafir also is doing good, Allah is rewarding him in the dunya. He refused to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But he did some good deeds. Allah Pak even recognizes that good deed. Allah Pak gives him an easy debt to recompense him. Apart from all the other favors that he was given in the world, Allah Pak adds that to this one favor that he gets in the dunya, that he has an easy death. We learn from this that a painful death is neither an entirely bad sign, nor is a painless death an entirely good sign. The severity of death should not cause one to doubt the virtue of death mentioned previously. One hadith, inshallah, we'll start it. Beautiful hadith, maybe we can go halfway through it. And this tells us that mort and death is a glad tidings to a believer. Glad tidings to the believer. What a basharat and what a glad tidings the experience of mort is. So this hadith is speaking about that experience that a person goes through at the time of death. Sometimes a person, he is going for Hajj, for example. Now he knows somebody who has been or goes regularly for Hajj. So he'll go and he'll sit with him and he'll ask him to go through your experiences of Hajj so I can learn something when I'm going now for my first time of Hajj. And I know what to go, what experience, what I can expect. Here in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us of the experience that a person goes through at the time of death. Let us start it, inshallah. Hazrat al-Barra ibn Azib radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a believer is departing from this world and moving towards the year after, angels whose faces are glowing like the sun come down to him from the heavens. Al-Barra ibn Azib radiallahu anhu explains that when a believer is departing from this world, then angels whose faces are glowing like the sun, they come down to him from the heavens. They bring shrouds and perfumes of paradise with them. So they bring shrouds and they bring perfume from paradise and they come with them. They sit by him in such large numbers that they are as far as the eyes can see. Beautiful with ether, with shrouds, coverings. And as far as the eyes can see, these malaika are there present. And then the angel of death comes and sits at his head side. So now all these malaika are there, shining, beautiful, with ether, with shroud. Then the angel of death comes and sits at his head side. And the angel of death says, O life, which was satisfied with the orders of Allah Ta'ala, move towards the forgiveness and pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The soul lives easily, similar to how water pours out of a water skin. The soul lives easily, similar to how water pours out from a water skin. Although you may see it differently, outwardly it may seem to you that the soul left with much force. The force is felt with the body and not the soul. The person now, what he's feeling is with the soul, he's not feeling with his body. So sometimes outwardly you're looking at the dying person, you may think that he's left with so much of force, so much of difficulty. But that difficulty is experienced by the body, is not experienced by the soul. Soul hasn't felt anything. The soul, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, is like how water pours out from a water skin. How easily that water is coming out. You've got a skin container. In those days they used to use like a skin container, like a leather container or other animal skin. They would keep water inside. And how you pour out that water from there, it flows out so easily, the water just pours out. Like that easily the person's soul is coming out. The soul lives easily, similar to how water pours out from a water skin. Although you may see it differently, outwardly it may seem to you that the soul left with much force. The force is felt by the body and not the soul. The angels remove the soul, and once they remove it, they do not leave it in the hands of the angel of death for even the blink of an eye. Now they don't leave it with the angel of death. Now they take it. They take charge. All the other malaika are there. They now take charge of this soul. They don't leave it now with the angel of death. Now what they do, the hadith explains, the angels remove the soul, and once they remove it, they do not leave it in the hands of the angel of death for even the blink of an eye. They place it in that heavenly shroud and perfume. The fragrance which emanates from it is like the sharpest fragrance of musk on earth. They then climb up with it. Each time they pass a group of angels, the latter asks, now they climb up now with this soul in the beautiful shroud with perfume, beautiful perfume of musk. And as they're going up now, they're meeting jamaats, different jamaats of malaika. And every time they're meeting one jamaat of malaika, this is what that jamaat of malaika asks. They ask, who is this pure soul? They reply, he is so and so, the son of so and so. They introduce him with the best names with which he was called in this world. They then continue in this way until they reach the closest heaven, the sama'ud dunya. From there they continue with him through the other heavens until they reach the seventh heaven. Allah Ta'ala says, record his name in the Illiyin and take him back to the earth to be questioned in the grave. Now he goes through this beautiful experience of going up, right up till the seventh heaven. Now Allah Pak is saying, record his name in the Illiyin. Illiyin is like the name of the special people, the special friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nowadays when a person's name gets recorded in some Guinness book of record, or he meets a specific criteria where he's listed with the elite, he feels so proud in the dunya that my name is listed with certain elite or certain class of people, that I achieved so much and therefore my name is here. Imagine a person what he'll experience when his name goes up, soul goes up, and now meeting so many different groups of malaika. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seventh heaven, Allah record his name in that special book. He is a special friend of mine. And now what? Take him back to the dunya. Why? His hisab kitab is going to start. They continue into this way until they reach the closest heaven. From there they continue with him through other heavens until they reach the seventh heaven. Allah Ta'ala says, record his name in the Illiyin and take him back to earth to be questioned in the grave. His soul is returned to his body in a manner most appropriate to barzakh. Now how his soul is returned, that we don't know exactly. But that is most appropriate to that world, that alam that he'll be in, which is known as alam-e-barzakh. So now his soul will be returned to him. Two angels then come to him and make him sit up. Should we continue? We have half page left. They ask him, who is your sustainer? Now the first question that he's asked in the Qabr, who is your sustainer and what is your religion? He replies, Allah is my sustainer and Islam is my religion. They ask him, who is this man who has sent you? He replies, He is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now, ulama, I give two explanations. One is all the veils from there, right up till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is removed. And now he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from his qabr. And now he's asked, who is this man? And he answers that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the ashiqeen, the beloveds, and those people that got extreme love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they go to one more extent. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be present in the qabr. And then he'll be asked, who is this person? Now he'll answer that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyway, this is what this hadith is speaking about. And he replies, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask, how do you know this? He replies, I read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believed in it, and I affirmed it. A caller on behalf of Allah ta'ala from the heavens calls out, my servant has answered correctly. He's passed his exam, he's passed his imtihan, he has answered correctly. Lay open a carpet from paradise for him, and make him wear the garments of paradise. And the person goes to sleep, normally he puts his pajamas on. Now he's going to sleep in the qabr. What Allah Pak is saying, put on the pajamas of Jannah, put on the garments, not the pajamas, put on the garments of Jannah for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that put on the garments of Jannah for this person now. First, lay open a carpet from paradise for him and make him wear from the garments of paradise. Open for him a door leading to paradise. So from there now, one door, we don't normally think of a small door, but no, what is the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Huge door, as far as the eye can see, the doors, the glamour, the glitz. What a view this person has got now of Jannah. Not just a what we know as a view when a person has got a penthouse suite, he's got a view, panoramic view. And imagine what a view this person now will experience of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that lay open a carpet of paradise for him and make him wear from the garments of paradise. Open for him a door leading to paradise. The breeze and fragrance of paradise reach him. And his grave is expanded for him, for as far as the eye can see, a man wearing exquisite clothes and having beautiful garments comes to him and says, glad tidings be to you. So now a man wearing beautiful clothes, having beautiful perfume comes to him and says, glad tidings to you, this is the day of which you have been promised. He asked, who are you? I see only good in your face. So now a man comes to him after he's seeing this beautiful scene. He can get the smell of Jannah, he can get the view of Jannah, and now a very, very beautiful person comes by him, and this person has told him that glad tidings to you, this is the day of which you are promised. Now he asks this man, in this whole scene now he's asking this man, that who are you? I see only good in your face. He replies, I am your good deeds. I am your good deeds. The deceased says repeatedly, O Allah, start resurrection quickly, start the resurrection quickly, start the hisab quickly, O Allah. Now he starts making dua. Oh Allah, start the hisab quickly, start the, so much beauty he can see, so much of excellence he can see, that he's excited now, so excited, that start the hisab quickly, so that I may return to my family and wealth, which I will receive in the year after. That wealth and family that you promised for me in the akhirat, I want to receive that now quickly. This person is so excited and so anxious to receive that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the pious. From here we can see what a beautiful experience that is. It's not something that we have to fright and have to run away from, and something that we have to be very, very scared of. What we have to be worried and scared of is our gunas, not that experience of death. That inshallah Allah Pak will make it very, very easy. But what we have to worry about is making tawbah for our gunas and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Pak give us all tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.